We thank you for the Holy Spirit who comes to lead and guide and teach us. Father, we thank you for our meetings online. We thank you that you bring brothers and sisters from around the world. We thank you for the way you use technology in which we can come and assemble and hear your word. So our desire is not only to come before you with clean hands and a pure heart, but also to glorify your name. And we thank you for this now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, as you know, I am teaching on the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. These are the principles and practice of the deeper life, life and walk in the Spirit. With these teachings, they are direct from our Lord who spoke and to the multitude. And we're opening this up now. And as we know, the scriptures show us that we are to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And let's just remind ourselves of what the scriptures have to say with regard to our walking in the Spirit. As he says in Galatians 5 and verses 16 through to 25, which you know well, but we will read it again. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, and here is the opposite, which is worked within us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And this is why we're looking in depth into the Beatitudes, the teachings that Jesus gave, because these are the principles of which a disciple is to walk by. But unless these words that we read from the scriptures are translated into our everyday life and walk, they are meaningless. And that is why you have to be empowered by the Spirit of God through the new birth. It cannot be practice. You cannot experience it. You cannot even walk it unless you are experiencing Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that's why the deeper life which we teach is a total application of the Word of God to our lives, you see, and that is how we're to walk. And it's interesting that 3/4 of our life is through conduct, is outward. So it's very important how we come over, how others see us, how the world sees us. And that can only be a divine work of God in working that in and through us. You see, we can't make any moral or ethical decision except by the standard of these principles as God works this within us. So we see from these teachings as we're opening them up, we're totally, utterly dependent upon God, upon the power of the Holy Spirit to work these principles within our life to bear that fruit. And remember that the fruit lies in him, not in us. As we decrease, he increases. Well, with that brief introduction, let's carry on in the Beatitudes of Matthew 5. And we're now looking at verse 8 that says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is an important one, this one is, because it's revealing our purity, relationship that we have with God, pure motives, a heart that is right before God, a heart that is teachable, open, ready to be enlarged, worked upon, circumcised, to change. That's why it's so important, as all of them are, but particularly with this one, for he says, "The pure in heart, they shall see God." You see, that's our salvation. That's what we're aiming for. That is why we're saved, so that we can stand before God in fellowship in eternity with him. So the heart, the inner man, which is you, it's the emotions, the seat of the emotions. When we talk about the heart, we're talking about you, the person. That's how the Bible presents it. And he's saying that you, the person, the heart, must be right before God. And even that is a working of God. And how do we have that pure heart? Keep coming, keep listening, keep hearing the word of God. Get before God in prayer, talk with him. That is how your heart is kept open, soft, and pure before him. That is, if you like, the secret, the key to walking with God. And if we put that first, that principle, you will find your heart is always open, ready to receive. And nothing in that sense would challenge you with God's word, where you become offended or you don't want to hear it anymore. It can be challenging, the word of God. But the point is, when the heart is right, is pure before God, you realize that in faith, God will work that within me. You see, when I look at things like this, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," something within me says, wow, God's going to work that in me, not by might, not by power, by his Spirit, says the Lord. I get encouraged to see this word, these promises, that God will work that in me for his glory. That's why he saves us. As I say so often, he doesn't make a mistake in calling us from the foundation of the world, that he's going to work all these promises within our life and in our heart. And here he says, if you want that pure heart, he'll do the rest as we yield and don't resist him. So that is what we're looking at here. So the pure in heart, they shall see God. So as being merciful, which we've been looking at, the other one, so purity of heart describes our relationship to God, where we've been showing mercy to others. Now the pure in heart is about our relationship with God. That's why this is an important one. They are all important, but this one is. And you see, the deeper life is all about purity of heart, holiness, godliness. Now, it's interesting that the term purity means to be clean. Now, we all like to wash, to bath, to shower. And after we've done that, what do we feel? clean after a day's work or sweating or whatever it would be. We have a bath, we have a shower, and we come out, we have that sense of being clean. Or you want to clean the house, you want to go through it all, and after you've done it, you sort of just sit down and look back and think, ah, the house is clean now. It's a sense of joy. It's a sense of comfort, achievement. And that's exactly what purity of heart is. It's because you're clean before God. And that is a work of the Holy Spirit. And that being clean keeps you in fellowship 24/7 with Him, knowing His presence, walking with you, and so on. And so because we're clean, it means He's going to work within us clean desires. My desires are clean and not of an opposite motive. My affections, my thoughts, my motives are pure, clean in God's sight. I'm not just using someone what I can get out of them. That's not pure. That's wrong motives. That's why a lot of relationships, marriages, don't work, because the wife or the husband has entered into that relationship with the wrong motives, you see. And it's the same with our fellowship and with brothers and sisters in the body. We're not in the body in relationship for wrong motives, what I can get out of someone or what I can get out of this church. That's not what it's about. It's all about a surrendering unto Jesus Christ, a giving up of our identity, submitting to the unity and oneness of the Spirit. We come here for Christ. We come here for fellowship. We come here so that God can keep our hearts pure, our motives, our thoughts, our affections pure. Why am I stressing that? Because God is most holy, and He cannot have anything that's defiled, unclean. And that's why sometimes our faith isn't always being answered, because the faith is not clean. That's why the Bible says faith works by love, that agape love, God's love. And God's love is perfect, is clean. And when we get that, when we desire that, we pray on that, then you're going to find your faith works. You have the faith to believe through the trials and the tests, because your affections, your desires, your motives are clean. They're right. And this is why He's saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that you have to see God in your trials, in your tests. I've said to you before, if you're not touching God in a trial, then don't go any further in faith. Stop. Get before God. Wait on Him. It might be because there's a need of confession of sin or unbelief. Allow the Holy Spirit to search your heart. He'll do it. You see, this is why God wants us to walk by faith, but we've got to do it His way. And He does show us. And He's showing us that our faith is a faith that is pure and clean in motive, and it works by love. If you are embracing the promises of God's word by faith with the wrong motives, what I can get out of it, it's not going to work. I'm going to confess the promises because I want money. I want to be wealthy. I'm confessing God's promises because I want to be well. I don't want to be sick. Now, all of those things that I've just said can be right, but can be of the wrong attitude, motive. And that's why nothing happens. We have to have a pure motive and affection. And one of the things that God has revealed to me in getting a right motive and heart with regard to walking this walk of faith is, Father, my step of faith in believing for my healing or finances that I need or for the salvation of my loved ones or whatever it is firstly for your glory, to honour you, that you will be seen through my act and step of faith. When you start to approach God with a faith like that, you will begin to see he will clean up your affections, your thoughts, and your motives. And you will begin to see faith isn't striving, trying to believe. It is that rest that Hebrews 4 speaks about. It just happens. It's working. Without striving or whatever it is. I'm so amazed in the Bible that Jesus prayed the shortest prayer in raising a man from the dead, Lazarus. Thank you, Father, you heard me. And the next thing he says is, come forth, Lazarus. There is faith in operation. He's not trying to call it down. Going into warfare, it need be, or whatever it is, he's walking in unbroken fellowship. His motive, his heart, his desires are clean, pure, and right before God. And God honored that. He answered that prayer and raised that man from the dead. He was already rotting, smelling. And those teachings are there for us to learn something from it. And this is the key to it. The pure in heart, they shall see God. The purity of your heart is enabling you to see Almighty God in your everyday walk. Okay, you're not visibly seeing him, but you're seeing him in your actions, in your prayers, in the way you walk, in the way you speak, the way you come over to people. He's being seen through you, through me. This isn't rocket science. We make it so difficult at times for ourselves. Because the Bible says that out of the heart can proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. That's what Matthew 15 verse 19 says. Where does it come? Out of the heart. So if the enemy, the God of this world, can place that in your heart, and you don't have to work on that, it can just naturally come out. How much more does our Heavenly Father place within our heart a new heart that has been changed by the Spirit, placing the opposite of that? Through right motives, purity of heart. That's why I read to you back in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. That is the opposite to the wisdom of this world, which comes from Satan. The wisdom of this world is evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, stealing, lying, false witness, blaspheming. That's his wisdom. And that's what the wisdom of this world exalts. But it's not for us. It's the opposite. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meek, self-control, and so on. And that comes from the life of Christ in you, because the fruit is in him. And that's why he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that's the reward. The pure in heart shall see God. You see, sin, unbelief, impurity of heart acts like a veil. It obscures our vision of God. You're not seeing him properly. The word of God is not being illumined to you properly. Let me use an example. It's very, very sad, but we had to block two people out of this room earlier on in this meeting. Some of you saw them. Oh, they were quoting the word. But there is a classic example. The heart is not right before God. They were not coming into this meeting in which to learn, to be taught. There's the pride, the arrogance. Can you see what religion, that pharisaical spirit, can do when the heart is not right? That is why the word of God is a sword, and that sword will perform and will do major surgery to heal you, to deliver you. Or this sword can cut asunder and destroy. You see? You don't mess about with God and his word. This is why the early church had the fear of God upon them, which is being restored again in these last days, and rightly so. So the heart is so important, because if it's not right with God, it's veiled, it obscures. You cannot have a vision of God. You cannot have a vision of your walk, your call before God. In other words, his word is no longer illumined to our hearts. Our prayers remain unanswered. And when our prayers are not getting answered, that is a wake-up call. God is saying something. That is why in many churches they simply pray vain repetition. They don't believe really what they're praying or what comes out of them or what they're praying out of the prayer book. That's vain repetition, because their hearts are veiled. God won't have that of you and me and in this assembly. And if our prayers are not being answered, that's a wake-up call. God's saying, right, come on, we need to come and talk it out. Let's agree on something, which God tried to do with the children of Israel. What does Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 say? Isaiah 59 verses 1 to 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. He says, your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongues has muttered perversity. And so it goes on. All of that chapter reveals what separates people from God. It's worth reading that chapter, because they're veiled. They're not hearing. What does Hebrews 12 verse 14 tell us? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Quite absolutely clear there. We pursue peace. We are people of peace. We make peace. And whether we're persecuted for it or not, or people take it the wrong way, as long as we have a pure and right heart and motive before God. What does Psalm 24 say to us? Psalm 24, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 24:3-4. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. So Jesus was using that from that psalm in preaching and teaching the people in Matthew 5. So you see how the Lord was weaned by the word of God and how he uses it in his ministry and teaching. So these are just some of the requirements of which we enter this deeper life walk with God. Let's look also at some more scriptures that we really can get this from the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15, 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. He says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it's written, be holy, for I am holy. Our actions, our walk, what we say, what we do, comes from a consecrated life. And that consecration means unto a holy, righteous God. That's how it is. And we realize that God works that by his Spirit as we yield to him and not resist him. He will work this in and through us. We're called with a holy calling. That's what the Bible tells us. King David prayed to God, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. You see, there's that constant crying out for a purity of heart and motive. That is a good sign, brothers and sisters, within us. Have you sinned this week? Have you fallen short this week of the standard? Maybe some of you have. But there is something within you that cries out, Lord, place within me that right heart, that right standing before you. You can't rest until you've gone before God and you are covered by the blood of the Lamb. That is the mercy and grace of God reaching out, even when we fall short and we sin. And these are the things that make us cry out with such gratitude and respect and honor to God when he could have just let me go and left me to my own way, which would be destruction, hell. No, he doesn't do that. You see, when King David's heart and mind was finally opened to the sin that he committed. He fell to his knees and he saw immediately the one he'd done it unto. That's what cut him, broke him. You see, what was happening there? God was working a pure heart within him. And God said, even through that sin he did, which most of us have never done or will ever do, what did he say about this man? He has a heart after me. Oh, how our God works is miraculous. How he changes us and makes us into vessels of honor. It's miraculous. How a holy God can even look upon sin, even conceive it, because he's so holy. Yet he's provided through his Son, through the blood of the Lamb. And that's why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. And that overcoming, that coming back, that hungering, that thirsting, is that I have need and want of a pure heart before God, because then my motives are clean and right before him. I have a faith then that works, that God honors and hears, because he says, if you're right before me, he tells us in John 16, ask and it will be given to you. That's what he says. That's how confident he is over you and me. To say such words, to ask him, to claim these promises in his word. But he says, have that pure heart before me. Because you must see me in the promise. Every promise in God's word that you are confessing, you are holding on to, you are praying and believing for, you must see God in that promise. Nothing else. You're seeing anything else, it's unclean. It's a wrong motive. It's a wrong attitude. Even for the salvation of your loved ones, your family, your children, if you have any different motive for them being saved, they won't be saved. They are saved for the glory of God, first and foremost. Saved for him, for his family. For his glory, because my son, my daughter is created in your image. It's not about me. It's about you. When you start approaching God in that manner, you are going to see things happen. God is far more concerned and interested in his glory than even you or I are, as much as we are preaching and teaching on it. It comes out of a clean heart, pure motives, pure desires, so that everything I believe, pray upon, these promises that I see, are for the glory of God, that God may be seen and glorified, and that all these promises are to be shared out as blessings to the body of Christ. Are you beginning to understand now, brothers and sisters, what our faith is? Why we teach faith like we do? You are very, very blessed, for few teach in such a manner. I boast in none of this. This can only come by the Spirit, as I spend that time before him, that he takes over my mouth and heart and spirit, as he opens up the Word of God. Because so many in Christendom are trying to believe, trying to get a faith, trying to get blessed by these promises. And nothing's happening. And that's why I say all the time, not by might, not by power. That's what man tries to do. Might, power, that's all in his strength. By my spirit, says the Lord. And that is why it's Romans 8. We are men and women who walk after the spirit and not after the flesh. The flesh will never give you this. The flesh will keep your eyes and heart veiled from Almighty God. The flesh doesn't know anything about being pure in heart or seeing God. That's not how we're to walk. We're to walk by the Spirit as we take up our cross daily and we follow the Lord. And as we say, as the apostle said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And when he lives in you, you have purity of heart, motive, desire, everything. He lives in you because you are seeing God. And Jesus said to the disciples, when you see me, you see the Father. That is what you're seeing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. This is one of the most important teachings that we hear. We are all dependent on seeing God to make it in to the kingdom of heaven. Father, if any of us are veiled, we're not seeing as we should be. In your mercy, love and grace, remove it. Enable, help us to have that pure heart before you. Whatever it takes, Lord, continue to do that perfecting work in each of us. But we know that this comes as we hear your word. That is how we get the faith, a faith that is pure and holy before you, a faith that works by love. So, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for our fellowship. Lord, may your blessing and preservation be upon each in the room and those who hear this word. Be with them when they go out, when they come in. Always give your travelling mercies over them. Keep them from the evil one, from temptation. May they continue to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Father, use them. Use them for your glory. May they be witnesses daily to the love and grace and mercy of God to this dying world. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen and amen.